Satori Magazine is a space for thought-provoking content. By exposing ourselves to ideas, thoughts, experiences, and life lessons, we might stumble across something which gives us new insight or a change of perspective. Today's guest is creative director Anouk Jans. Also, if you're interested, you might like to follow us on Instagram at find_Satori, and we can keep you updated on future podcasts and other Satori-related content and info. Actually, I'd really appreciate it if you did want to help us expand, but if not, that's totally cool. You just being present today and listening to the show is more than enough for me. Just to note, we start by discussing the documentary Kill Your Darlings. It's about the creative and advertising industry, its lack of diversity, and its future. I wanted to start by talking a little bit about the documentary of yours, Kill Your Darlings, presented by Together. I was watching this last week, and I was actually very, it's really beautifully made. And it's a really interesting journey that you've been on. And I was pleasantly surprised because I got a bit scared by watching the trailer. And it made it feel a bit like this equally interesting and engaging journey, but one which was more about, possible glass ceilings for people that weren't white males, basically. And that's when I was geared up and I was expecting to watch this sort of more of a tragedy. I was really relieved that it was a much more inspiring personal journey for you, I think.
That's true. That's absolutely true. Yeah.
And so it was a really beautiful journey to watch. And I wondered sort of, I'll read a quote from you from the documentary. So this is you talking about, I think the making of the documentary itself and all the different visits you were making to different people in the industry. So this is a quote from you. I think it's overwhelming. I don't even realize when I'm on these trips how much it's changing me, but it is. So firstly...
Wow. That goes deep. Even hearing you read it out loud, I remember exactly what I felt when I was saying this. So
perfect. Could you talk me through that, please?
Absolutely. So, in general, the documentary was quite a journey. It started very unexpectedly. It was last year, around the same time that we have now. And we went on this trip for about 3 months. And I had no expectations, really. Doing a documentary, knowing that you will put yourself out there, that you will be filmed, that you will meet so many different people, that you will visit so many different places, is of course something that it's exciting and it's very unique, but it's also quite frightening. And I had the same fear like you when you were watching the trailer, actually. Right. I also was thinking maybe this is something that will feel shallow, or it will feel like it's only for those who have made it somehow, or maybe it will not be emotional, maybe people will not feel anything looking at it. Maybe it will be boring. I had so many different fears connected to this documentary. But then I really tried to, the moment I stepped my foot into the first airport and started the first trip towards the first interview, to leave all of these fears behind and just let it go and let it flow. And what came out is really something that shows my heart, me as a person, but also the kindness and the heart of all these creatives that I've met. And it was hard to actually find people of color in the industry in certain positions to talk to. That was something that was very, very sad, to be honest. Even talking to some of them was something that was not easy to find, because the industry is such a still very much male-driven and white-driven, so to say, as well. So we're quite the white bunch, sadly. Trying to change it as much as I can with my team to bring more diversity into the agency here in Milan. But in general, I also saw that we all have the same sentiments. We all feel the same. We're really much connected to our feelings and how we are going through these different phases as creatives and what we wish for this industry to become. So the connection was something that I saw and felt with every single interview along the journey.
Okay. So that sounds like that is much more in reference to my original fears of what you found out about the industry as a whole. So you're saying there, do you feel that that's inspired you in where you are now to be more aware of that?
Absolutely. I mean, after the documentary, I was really aware of every single step that I was taking from there, and I'm fighting for changes every single day, and it is the opposite of easy. And of course, also during the filming and during the documentary, it was a roller coaster of emotions because sometimes it really felt hopeless because in general, nobody was really talking about the industry as something that is thriving or blooming, but more something that is cracking and that is falling apart. And this to realize that, and to realize that this is the industry that I picked for myself, for my career, and that I'm the part of the future of this industry, and that I have an age where I want to spend the next 20, 30 years in this industry. So I am one of these people who can build it back up. This was quite a thing to realize. And it's, of course, also sometimes heavy on my shoulders to understand that I'm one of the youngest leaders that we have in this industry and that there's a lot of responsibility that comes with it.
And that's interesting because I feel like there's now these sort of two stories in parallel here. Because was the inspiration for the documentary also to do with your issues of burnout? Correct me for the facts I get wrong here, but I believe in the documentary you mentioned that you were the youngest creative director in Germany when you got the job. Is
That's
that
true.
correct? And
Yes, that's correct.
that sadly. That all of that achievement and hard work sadly led to feeling completely burned out and having a choice to make about what you did next with your life.
Yes, I mean, for me, my personal story has been more that I had a burnout when I was actually turning 20 to 21. So way before the documentary, actually, because I have been working since I'm 13. I was the youngest fashion blogger in Germany when I was 13. And this is how my career actually
I
began in
see.
the first place. And then from there, I was working already at every age, so to say, starting from age 13, and had my first proper higher position age 18, and then founded my own agency at age 22 after feeling so burned out. So this was the first time that I was really on my knees and I needed to get back up. But also when the directors from Kill Your Darlings approached me, they didn't really know my personal journey. We connected and they had heard about me from another friend, and she had recommended me because she thought that I was really pushing for new ways in the scene, in the industry. And she knew me from the agency I was then working with. And they had a first chat with me. And this is actually was the first time where we spoke about me feeling burned out also before and now not feeling sure about my work anymore. And the approach of quitting, or the wish for to quit, that came actually also during the film. So it was very real. We didn't stage anything. It was exactly what I felt during these times, and was exactly who I was during that period of filming. And we were, I think, just lucky that we had a team there that was able to capture this journey that inspired so many. And until this day, I mean, 7, 8 months later, I'm still receiving messages every single day of people that really feel something watching the film and feeling understood and tell me how much it means to them. And this is the ultimate goal. I think this is the only thing I could have ever wished for.
That's fascinating. So you didn't really, that wasn't supposed to be part of the subplot or anything like that. It's just something which was going on with you.
Absolutely not. Like, of course, they were wishing for somebody who was questioning the industry, who had questions, who was eager to ask different things, but they had no idea that they would land on a girl with a shaved head and a German accent and just coming from different burnouts and being so young. And I think they had a lot of different people before in mind that were also much older and had even more experience. So for them to go for somebody who was so young, and of course I have 15 years of experience, so quite a life in this industry already. But still, I think I wasn't the expected pick for this documentary, and this made it even more special for the whole team and also for myself.
That's really interesting. Because one of the things that I've tried to explore for myself and with guests on this podcast and others is the idea of putting yourself out into the universe and, you know, seeing what comes back to you. And that the more you put yourself out into this universe, the more you get shown the correct way to go. And that's such a perfect example, maybe, of you being in a situation for something else, but it coming back to you on another level, on maybe a more personal level, and actually helping you with other problems in your life.
I 100% believe in that, 100%, because I always say I manifested my whole career and also my whole life. I'm a huge believer in manifestation. And also I know that family, but also friends, they always say that I'm the perfect example for serendipity. And this is exactly what was guiding my life since I have turned 13 and started this journey as an blogger back then, and writing about fashion, writing about my thoughts. And every single thing that happened since then is something that I somewhat wished for and asked for towards the universe. So I have been, I know it sounds crazy and maybe very spiritual, and I'm not even, I believe in the universe. I don't believe in a certain religion, but I do believe in the universe. And I always have been saying also to my parents when I was very little that I talk to the universe. So this has been also a sentence that has been going around in my family for a long time, that they always say, okay, if you really wish for it, send it out to the universe, ask the universe for it to become true. Yeah. And these several things that happened during the last 15 years, and especially in my career, they feel like chance, but they also feel like faith. And this is something that I just want to continue doing. So manifesting the things that I want for myself and for others, and how I want to change things in the industry. So I really do believe in the power of the universe. I think it's very powerful.
Can you tell me, how do you manifest then? Can you give me some tips?
I remember one of the biggest examples I always give, also when I do workshops or classes, is talking about my book. It's not a book that I'm especially proud of. It's a very commercial book. I was 16, 17 back then. And would I have the age that I have now, the knowledge, I would absolutely do it differently. Mm-hmm. But the thing is that is connected to the story is that I was 14, 15, and I said, I want to become a writer. I want to publish a book.
Right.
And what I didn't tell the universe or ask the universe is what kind of book. So I just said a book. So maybe this is also why the book became what it was, because I wasn't really specific and what kind of a book I wanted to create.
Yeah.
But I wanted to become a published author. And this is what I asked for. And this is what I manifested. And I remember even 1 year before even having the book contract in my hands, I told people and myself, I'm a published author. And I didn't say it in the sense of saying something that wasn't truthful, but it was more about saying, okay, I will put it out there. I will believe in it. And after my belief, it will follow. It will happen. And through really talking myself through it and talking myself into being this published author, it in the end really happened. And I do believe that me saying these things out loud and also telling others that I was aspiring to be a published author and that I was working towards it and that I believe that I already was it, and that it felt really like I had the contract in my hands back then, even being 15 years old, I do think that that made a huge difference. And I think this kind of manifesting and how you speak to yourself is a really important part, because we mostly underestimate the power of words as such. They are very powerful. So it's something that I always love quoting is that we should take care of our thoughts when we are alone and take care of our words when we are with others. And this I absolutely do believe to be true.
Take care of our thoughts when we're alone and take care of our words when we're with others.
Exactly.
That's really perfect. And so do you think that's a big part of it, telling other people and putting it out there?
Absolutely, 100%. And it's absolutely also something that I encourage creatives to do when it comes up to setting up their own website and even writing what they are. And for example, saying, I'm a creative director. If you say it, it's not about faking it. It's more about saying it and also working towards it and making sure that your work lives up to what you're saying. It's quite complex. It's not easy to explain, because people might also hear it and say like, oh yeah, but then you're lying, or you're not saying something truthful. But it's not about that. It's more about saying something that you truly believe you are and that you're capable of it, and then thriving towards it. This is more the idea behind it. So it is a huge part of creating your own journey, of writing down who you want to be, how you see yourself, what kind of place you see yourself covering in the world and in the industry that you are approaching. and then to go with that and, of course, also grow with it.
Yeah. Once you put this description of yourself out into the world, I've had things where, you know, maybe invitations or opportunities have come up. And my first thought is to be scared and think, oh, maybe I don't need to do that. And then you have to think, well, if I want to be this thing, then that's, you know, this is a clear step on the way. You just got to get on with it, really. You've got to do it. And then you've done it, you know, and then on to the next thing.
And also what you said before is also so right. You said like this was helping you also in that situation. And that's also so right. I think the universe does give us challenges that we need to grow as humans. And I needed the documentary. The documentary was everything that I needed. It really brought me back to life and it made my past so much clearer. So without this documentary, I don't know where I would be, because to be very honest, before the directors approaching me and before Adam and Chris coming towards me and asking me to participate, I was literally sitting at my desk crying and having no idea where I would land next, because I really felt helpless. I was in the industry for such a long time. My path didn't seem clear. I wanted to achieve so many things, ask so many things, do so many things, but I did not know where to start. And the documentary helped me to reach that next level and to also, yeah, find my way. I found my way back to myself and also back to life.
Is that like the first time you've had that feeling of, well, just going back to that original quote there where you say you didn't even realize how much it's changing you, but it is. Is that the first time that you've really been aware of that kind of shift in your life, if that makes sense?
I wouldn't say it was the first time, because I had many of these kind of shifts in my life. I mean, again, coming from starting at age 13, I remember for the first time having this wave of PR and articles being written about me and being so young. And that was the first time I felt a shift and I need to deal with it and understand where it was taking me. Mm-hmm. And then a few years later, I was working for different brands and I was also then approached regarding the book. And then this was the next shift. And then again, when I had my first big job, age 18, that was the next shift. And I always felt these moments of shifting in my life. But I think the documentary for the first time really pulled away the curtains and let in the light. It was the first time that I really saw crystal clear what I wanted to become, and that I didn't have before. So I always felt the movement of my life and my career, and I could absolutely point out which were the most important parts or the moments that really changed something in the bigger term. But the documentary, this was something different. It was really standing on the mountaintop and seeing everything from the top and understanding what the big picture looked like.
Yeah, amazing. Yeah, it's a fantastic feeling when you get that. It really is.
Yes, and then you go back down and you need to start it again.
Yeah. So, you cannot. Yeah, it doesn't last forever.
No, it doesn't. Sadly.
How do you deal with those thoughts when you're having a negative day, or when you're feeling down about yourself? How do you overcome that, or how do you handle those days?
It is absolutely not easy. And something that I also like to discuss with friends of mine even is that from the outside, it always looks so glamorous. It looks like I'm flying around the world and I'm meeting so many people and I have so many opportunities. But what people don't see is how much of responsibility all of these things come with, and how much it means to perform on a very high level every single day, 24/7, and that I have been working 24/7 since I'm 13 to be part of the conversation, to lead the conversation, to be part of this narrative around the industry and to change certain things. And especially the days are hard when I feel like I'm failing, when I'm not only failing myself, but I'm failing others, either as a leader. For example, if I have a bad day and I am therefore then also not a good or kind leader, because I become more harsh or I become more tense. And especially when I have the feeling that things are not moving forward fast enough, this is when I start to get very, how do I phrase that? I would say I get very hard. My whole body, my whole mind, it's very hard. Like my softness goes away, my femininity, so to say. I really lock myself up in this self-made bunker, and to get out of that again, that is a difficulty, to become soft again, to become fluent again, to become water again. And I do believe that we need to be water to move through this life fluently. And these days are never easy. And what helps me is music. I'm a huge music junkie, and I listen to music nearly all the time. It helps me to navigate my feelings. It helps me to navigate creativity, to have certain playlists for certain projects or certain days or certain beginnings, ends of the day. And when I feel like I'm in a very bad mood, most of the time sitting down, listening to a certain style of music or a certain artist really helps me. And also writing, like I really do believe in the power of words, as I said in the beginning, and the power of writing. So I always have a diary close and I write down why I'm feeling what I'm feeling and what a solution could be to understand where your feelings are actually coming from. This is something that I learned also through my father being a therapist these days. I mean, he was a gallerist before, then he turned into becoming a therapist, and he helped me along the way a lot to navigate my thoughts and also lead my thoughts and not be guided by my emotions without understanding where they're coming from. So going back to the core of these things is something that always supports me in finding my way out of them, out of the negative emotions.
Mm.
And then seeing the light again.
And how do you navigate your thoughts?
Again, I try to really go into conversation with myself. I think I should do this even more often, but really having a dialogue with yourself and speaking to yourself internally and saying, okay, why are you feeling what you're feeling, and how do you feel in particular, and what do you think could support you right now? And having myself as my own best friend, this is something I'm working on. I'm far from being perfect in it, but this really helps. And also talking to my family. I mean, I have a really strong bond with my father and also with my mother. And both of them are very creative, have lived a very inspiring life, and are just great leaders, each of them in their own way. So having both of them as my yin and yang to support me whenever I need them, this is just something I'm blessed with. And I'm really, really lucky to have this kind of support system. And also friends that are really aware. So I have this small group of people that are just very, very honest. Mm-hmm. So this helps. But in general, it's really dialogue. Talking about it. This is something that always helped me. And trying to not go in circles, of course, talking so much about it, but really trying to come to a solution and figure out what are the steps that some can take to move their thoughts into a different direction.
What would you say, what is your relationship with yourself like?
Comme ci, comme ça. Sometimes it's very beautiful. Sometimes I feel very much happy in my own skin. Mm-hmm. And I like being me, and I like the journey that I had. And then there are other days where I have a very low self-esteem, or I think that I'm not worth what I think I'm worth, or that I despise a few of the moments of my past and I feel embarrassed about them, or I think I could have done something even faster, better. I could even be on a different path already. I'm still too slow. And this is actually when the stress kicks in. So
yeah,
even when I talk about it, understanding that I'm in this position and I have just turned 28, so I'm quite young being a creative director. And again, I have had this kind of experience as a creative director for several years now, and still believing that I'm already too old, or that I'm not fast enough. These things are really my biggest battles internally, that I need to understand that I'm already there. And also, it's not something that we need to do in order to succeed. It's timing is not everything. It's a big part of everything, but it's also something where we need to give everything a bit more time and time to flourish. And we don't need to pressure ourselves the whole time.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And actually, I think my idea of what is succeeding has changed over time as well.
Oh, yes.
You know, success seems to be more about starting things and trying to finish them for me these days. And, you know, less about hitting external goals and more maybe about internal ones, if that makes sense.
I agree. Sometimes, and this is also like a personal challenge for me, that I still really much unite my self-worth with my goals and my achievements in my job.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But I think this is a journey that I'm still on, that I try to understand that I am also worth everything, even if I wouldn't be creative director at this age, even if I would not have the standing that I have. So really disconnecting these kind of feelings from my business life, and seeing also Anouk, the person, the woman, the girl even. This has been quite a challenge in the last years.
Mm. Yeah. Is it a challenge you're succeeding at?
Sometimes. Mm. I mean, looking at my life, I love working. It's something that drives me, and I love my job really to every single detail of it. But that also means a lot of moments where, of course, the personal life is left a little bit behind. And then I always need to remind myself that I need to get back out there, not to succeed in a project, but to succeed in my friendships and succeed in my personal journey. And that is something that I try every single weekend to remind myself. These 2 days are for me. They're not for working, because I have been one of these people who also loved working on weekends. I just liked working when others were not. And I liked having my own pace during these 2 days. And I was also very creative during the weekend, sitting in my favorite cafe and just doing what I like to do and being creative. But I also realized in the last years that it's really important to completely log off, as this was also a topic of the documentary, to really stop everything digital and go back to analog and really take time to read, to write, to work out, and not be connected to your digital devices. Because as soon as I open my emails or my phone or my Instagram or my LinkedIn or whatever it is, then my mind starts working again. And sometimes it's really important to just let go for these magical 2 days.
When other people are more tied to a Monday to Friday work, it becomes important to work around their schedules, because if you need to socialize with them, you know, you have to sort of plan to be near them, which I appreciate that as well, because I love being in my music studio on the weekend. And I wish my life would be complete by locking myself away for 3 months and working on my magnus opus, but it just the brain can't handle that. You know, it's like reminding yourself to eat when you're not hungry, that you still need this sustenance, and you need to take it in whether you feel like you want to spend the time doing it or not, if that makes sense.
That makes so much sense. I remember people also asking me, don't you want to take a sabbatical, or don't you want to, I don't know, stop doing anything for 1 or 2 months? And I can't even imagine myself doing that, because I really thrive also with the kind of tasks that I'm given and the tasks that I can delegate and the projects that I'm doing. And I need both. I need the balance, and finding this balance is something that I don't even know if we will ever succeed. It's just an ongoing journey and learning every single day. And especially I know from the time from COVID that I felt very low, because I couldn't go to an office. I couldn't go traveling whenever I wanted. And having this privilege again to be out there in the world and be in a cafe and be surrounded by people, that is actually something that I remind myself of a lot, that we have this again. And this is something that I miss so dearly during the time of COVID.
And I think as well, sometimes I try and remind myself just to wind back in any impersonal pressures that I'm putting on myself. But like you say there, it's almost to accept that perfect balance is not going to be achieved by many people. And actually just trying and trying to make sure I'm putting the effort into trying is enough. It'll never be perfect. I'll never drink just the right amount of drinks on a Friday night to have a good time but not have a hangover. You know, sometimes you need to accept that hangover, and you know, sometimes you need to go home early. You know what I mean?
I so agree. And I know that friends of mine have been reading a book called 4,000 Weeks, if I'm correct.
Oh, yes. And, yeah, I've read that too.
Right. And what I heard about it, I want to read it desperately. And I heard that it's very good. And it's talking exactly about that life is too short for time management. And if we turn around 80, I think this is the idea behind the book, then we will only live 4,000 weeks, which is nothing. If you say 4,000 weeks, and this really made me think that this, I know it's a cliche to say live every day as it would be your last, but it's really about making every single day beautiful and making it just just right for you at that certain time. It doesn't need to be perfect. It will always be a little bit imperfect, but just trying to enjoy every day a little bit. So this is also why every time I get frustrated or I'm tough on myself or hard on myself, I try to remind myself of these 4,000 weeks and be like, hey, 4,000 weeks, you don't want to waste this day, don't you?
Yeah, yeah. And I recommend that book. It was excellent. And it was passed on to me by Duncan, actually, as a recommendation. And I love, because one of the things I had to get over was this idea that I used to hope that I would never make the same mistake twice. And I had to accept as an adult that I'm not going to change my personality. I'm always going to say stupid things every now and then.
Oh my God, I feel you. I have been actually thinking that for such a long time. And then I realized sometimes I needed to do several mistakes at least 5 times yeah. to learn from it. And I'm still in that carousel of doing several mistakes that feel very similar in different ways. But I'm always telling myself, hey, the first time it was a bit different, so now you're learning even more, and maybe the 5th time around you will have learned your lesson.
Yeah And you know, it's okay to be constant. Well, I will always be learning lessons all yes. through my life, and it's brilliant to be reminded of things you already know, because sometimes you need that little extra resonance at the right time of your life. And that book was a perfect example of that.
It's even also Cindy Gallup, just because something comes back to mind talking with you about it. I remember also Cindy Gallup saying, you won't succeed going back to an agency. And even that was, I'm constantly asking myself, is it a mistake that I'm making again, believing in the agency system? But I'm still not done. If it will be a mistake in the end, then so be it, because I still want to do this kind of mistake again and again, because I still believe in it. So the journey there is not done either.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, that's excellent as well, because I think a lot of advice is about believing advice and listening to it and then making a decision after that. You don't have to always do everything
exactly
the way that someone else sees it. But yeah, yeah, I think that book was brilliant at reminding me that, like, we can't do everything. If you can't get that perfect balance, you need to remind yourself of what's more important, you know, and just be like, hey, if I can't do these 10 things today, what are the most, like, 1, 2, 3, which for me in my life, which is finite, which ones are important? And it was that to me was one of the driving themes of the 4,000 weeks book, which I really was a perfect time in my life to be reminded of that kind of thing.
Yeah.
What does drive and inspire you to the themes of your own work and your own career?
I think the big wish for beauty connected to meaning. Some people might think that beauty, and the way how I see it, it's not connected to meaning or depth, and that beauty is still something shallow. But I do want to leave the world as a more beautiful and hopefully also just better place. I know it's a big, big dream. But what I always told myself is I want that everything that I touch is afterwards better and more beautiful. That's the ultimate goal. If I come in contact with something or someone, or just, it could be a project, it could be a conversation, could be anything, I just want to leave a very good sentiment behind and a good energy. And that was driving me. And in general, I have been always a huge believer that beauty in a space, in clothing, in art, in any kind of form, is very much needed for humans to be happy as well. That a beautiful surrounding that is clean, that gives us a feeling of being able to surrender and being able to be calm and really loving where we are and our surrounding is really important for us to lead a happy life. And I'm very happy when I'm surrounded by beauty in all different ways. So my approach also for my own life, not only in my work life, is to create beauty. So I'm very, very picky when it comes to things that are let into my life, how I dress, what I buy, who I interact with, my friends. I'm just very selective in many ways. And I think this is something that is also a little bit the secret behind my success, that I have been in that way quite, maybe radical is also the right word, but I'm just very focused on making my life beautiful. And I had many inspirations along the way from people that inspired me to also create more beauty, and women like Patty Guggenheim, who was a great collector of art, or Franca Zozzani, who was a great editor and also created beauty in so many different ways. So these kind of women, they really inspired me along the way.
How do you tap into that on a daily basis? Do you actively remind yourself of this mission goal?
Maybe you could even call it a little bit OCD, to be honest. I mean, I do have these things where I just can't do things when they are not my ideal of beauty. Of course, I can work around it. And I learned throughout the years to let go and also appreciate the imperfect and appreciate things that are not my idea of beauty, and to see beauty in that as well. But mostly I really love to start the day with, this sounds so cliche, but I love to start the day with a good cup of coffee in a beautiful cup, or to start the day dressing in a certain way and really understanding what I'm dressing and why I'm dressing myself like this. And I love how also the philosophy behind Tom Ford and his movies was also about what we put on ourselves and on our body as really becoming part of our identity. And I do believe that. I do believe that the way we dress is also an expression of our thoughts and our being. So every single detail that enters my life or I bring into my life is connected to this belief. And I don't really need to remind myself, because my body and my senses, they're constantly working on it. I have been doing this since I was little, and I do believe that creating this persona also from the outside shaped my inside in many ways, and that I really tried to also build this kind of character that I wanted to become. I remember for the first time seeing kind of documentaries about the women that I adore during the time that I found so inspiring, and I really tried to mimic them in a certain way. And I do also believe that sometimes you need to not... maybe even copy. And then at the end of the copy, you also find yourself, and then you do find your own interpretation of it. But I do have a lot of elements that are coming from different inspirations, from different people that I encountered in my life or that I looked up to. And even when it comes to interior, I mean, there are people like Axel Devaux, who is a great collector, and his idea of collecting art and creating spaces and how you create the space to be creative. All of these little things, they inspire me to lead the life that I lead. And for me, the biggest thing that I always think about is to not lose the meaning, because that is the challenge. If you only focus on beauty, sometimes you're overdoing it, so to say. You want everything to be perfect, and it will never be. We discussed this before. So it's always important to have the balance and to also see that it needs to be truthful, it needs to be meaningful. And this is the ultimate goal, to create things that are just as beautiful as they are meaningful.
So, could I ask for you to please recommend a book to our listeners?
I think it would be a book that I have next to my bed right now, which is 101 Essays That Will Change the Way You Think. And I really do like it. I mean, normally I read all kinds of books, but this book, it's quite thick, and it's great to just read through and find the chapters that fit your state of mind. And I really enjoyed reading it.
Perfect. Yeah, I've heard of that before. I've not read it yet, so I'll add it to the list. That's fantastic.
Yes, please do.
Great. And finally, please, could you tell me about a Satori moment from your life, or any moment of inspiration or enlightenment that you may have experienced?
We talked about the documentary, and I don't think that anything that can get bigger than that. But if I look back into the last 5 years, I remember before the pandemic, I did a little passion project, which was called CPOP, which is short for Creative Pop-Up School. And it was just me asking 20 to 25 people from the industry that I knew and liked to speak at this school that I created in an open space in Hamburg. And a lot of people joined from different ages. And at the end of these 3 days that I put together, where it was all about learning about performing and about portfolio work and about finances and literally everything that you need to be also freelance creative, not only creative inside an agency or a brand. After that, seeing the people come towards me and explaining what this workshop or this creative pop-up school meant to them, this was one of these moments where I just felt enlightened, and I felt that something changed inside me. And it was one of these moments where you just stand and you understand, okay, now your life has changed and your direction in life has changed and you can't and won't change it back.
Thank you very much for sharing, Anouk. And again, thank you very much for your time today. It's been a real pleasure.
Of course, anytime.